Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around St Albans and from further afield. This week, we're going to be talking hedgehogs. But first, let's take a quick news roundup. Last Thursday, it was a full house at the first meeting of St Albans' new Environment Action Group. Attendees ranged from 21 to 90, from seasoned environmental activists to those totally new to activism, and from those with relevant professional skills to those just wanting to do their bit to make changes. The debate was enthusiastic, and John Pritchard from the Vare Valley Society explained the progress on the River Vare project. Now, the next meeting is provisionally fixed for the 15th of January with a focus on planning and new houses. And I'll keep you posted when more details are available. Oh, and they're going to be booking a bigger room next time to accommodate everybody. Now, it's good news for the organisers of next year's Festival of Sustainability. They've received grant funding from the Big Lottery Fund for an unprecedented fourth year. Now, remember, it's not too early for your group or business to be planning an event for the festival, which will run from the 11th of May to the 1st of June. Take a look at the Festival of Sustainability page on the Sustainable St Albans website. Now, the clocks have gone back, the weather has turned very chilly, and frankly, there are plenty of mornings when hibernating seems like an excellent idea for me, and many hedgehogs will be doing just that. Now, Hedgehog Street, it's an organisation run by wildlife charities, the British Hedgehog Preservation Society and the People's Trust for Endangered Species, recently published the first ever map of hedgehog sightings around the UK. The map has real interest for St Albans, with hedgehogs being found across the city, even right in the centre near Romelands. But Hedgehog Street still wants your help to make the map even better. I spoke to Emily Wilson, who's the Hedgehog Officer for Hedgehog Street, to find out more. Emily, thank you for joining me. So why have you created the big hedgehog map?
So the team over here at Hedgehog Street, we came up with the idea of doing the big hedgehog map so we can actually try and see where hedgehogs are and if people are even seeing them at all. We've been concerned for many years now that hedgehogs have really declined across the country. So just by using the eyes and ears of all the public across the UK to tell us if they're seeing them is a really, really helpful thing for us.
Okay. So what can we learn from it? Because, of course, this is people's sightings rather than actually where there are hedgehogs, if you say. It might be hedgehogs there that we've not seen, for example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so realistically, the map is a really good idea of looking at whereabouts hedgehogs are. So it's a really good idea of distribution. So we can see immediately that the hedgehogs seem to be more so in the central England and in the south, but we're not seeing a lot up in the Scottish Highlands and things like that. And it might be because hedgehogs aren't very good on kind of inclined surfaces, but also just because there's fewer people up there, so maybe there's just less hedgehogs being sighted. But it gives us an idea of where hedgehog conservation might need to have a bit more effort put in.
Okay. I suppose it shows you where hedgehogs are, because they're seen, but not such a good indication of where they aren't, because there might just not be people there to see them.
Exactly, yeah. Okay.
So you've said that, you know, perhaps in Scotland there's not as many sightings as you might have hoped for, but are there any other surprises in the sighting distribution?
I think for us, we were mostly surprised that our counter countries alongside England, like Wales, Scotland, Ireland, Republic of Ireland and the Northern Ireland, all had such few records. It made it look like everyone else down south is all outside looking for hedgehogs, but everywhere else hasn't seen any. But I'm pretty sure that's not the case, and I think there are hedgehogs in those areas. So I'd love people to get out and try and have a look for them.
Yeah, I mean, I was quite surprised that, that Bath and North East Somerset only sent in 60 sightings and then Hampshire sent in 1,250.
Exactly, and that's really surprising. You'd think that, you know, the lovely, beautiful rural countryside, that they should be doing okay there. So that's what we really want to know, but before we kind of make lots of assumptions about it, that we can know for sure if they really are gone from the area.
Right, I suppose the more sightings you get, then the better the picture will be, won't it?
Exactly,
So how does Hertfordshire do in this then?
So Hertfordshire have done really well, actually. We've got hundreds and hundreds of sightings that have been logged by people in Hertfordshire, which is fantastic. So thank you to everyone who did that. And if anyone has seen any more, then please do log it on. It's, you know, you can have seen a hedgehog a year ago, you can have seen it last week, or you could see it just a minute ago. All of that information is really helpful just to know, are hedgehogs even in your area? And yeah, Hertfordshire looks like it's a thriving place for hedgehogs.
Yes, I saw fifth out of the counties and 669 sightings, which pretty respectable, really, isn't it?
That's really good, yeah. And it just shows that people in Hertfordshire obviously really care about wildlife, specifically hedgehogs, and want to tell us about it, which is brilliant because we want to know about it.
Excellent. So if there's any more hedgehogs out there who would like to report that they have seen hedgehogs and they're very excited, how do they make a report?
So go onto the website. We've got something called the bighedgehogmap.org you can go onto, and you can log your sighting. And you can visit the hedgehogstreet.org website as well and find out all you can do to make your garden as wildlife and hedgehog friendly as possible, and that will help encourage them in so you can log it on the map.
Right, okay. I noticed that the Big Hedgehog map, it doesn't just show where hedgehogs have been sighted, but also shows where people have put hedgehog holes in their fences. I mean, is that so important? Was that worth mapping as well?
Definitely. The hedgehog highway, what we call them, is a small hole in the fence. It only needs to be about the size of a CD case, so not big enough to let your pets out and things like that, but just small enough for a little hedgehog to squeeze through. And it just means that you're linking up one perfect wildlife-friendly garden with another one, and it just gives them all that extra space to find food, find a possible mate or somewhere to nest. So by linking up as many green gardens that we can, the hedgehogs have got all that choice and have much better chances of survival. So yes, please do log your hedgehog highways, because then we get an idea of how much gardens are helping hedgehogs out there.
Brilliant. Okay, thank you very much indeed for coming and telling us about that, Emily.
Thank you very much for having me.
And I was talking there to Emily Wilson of Hedgehog Street. Oh, and rest assured, in spite of the rubbish I said, it is, of course, you that do the sightings and report them, not the hedgehogs themselves. What an idiot I am. Anyway, how are hedgehogs doing around St Albans then? How are they managing right now? And what can we do to help them? I welcome back local hedgehog enthusiast Jill Priest to see what she had to say. Jill, thank you for joining me. So am I right in seeing that you've recorded your hedgehogs on the Big Hedgehog map?
Yes, I've done that. I have a regular visitor to the garden, so I registered him. And I've had quite a few over the last year and a bit. So, okay.
Well, that's good news, isn't it? And do you think this is a good idea, getting people to report their sightings?
I think so, because I think it's important to know where the hedgehogs are living now. And I think the case is that there aren't so many in the countryside, with farming methods and loss of habitat. So our gardens are really the hedgehog's last stand. So it's important to see where they are.
Yeah, it seems like there's still a lot we need to learn about hedgehogs, isn't there?
So. I think so, yes. I think people are a lot more aware now than they have been, which is a good thing and perhaps is why they are being reported as well.
Yeah. Now, it's a bit cold now, but thinking back to the summer, really hot, really dry. And of course, one of the reasons why we like hedgehogs so much is because they eat the slugs and the snails in our garden. There weren't very many of those around, though. Did you see any evidence of how hedgehogs were doing during that really dry period?
Yes, it wasn't a good time for them, really. They also eat earthworms, which obviously they have to dig for, and the ground was so hard they couldn't find those. And lack of water, obviously, was the big thing. So the local centre was getting a lot of dehydrated hedgehogs in, and very skinny ones. That just weren't getting enough food or water. So, yeah, it wasn't good for them.
No, I suppose that's right. You know, if you put out a dish of water, you might not even see anything coming to it because, of course, hedgehogs are nocturnal, aren't they? But it's still really valuable having it there.
Yes, absolutely. And for all wildlife, of course, as well. I mean, the birds were, you know, they also needed the water.
Yeah.
So, yes,
yeah.
Always put it out.
Okay. So, I mean, the hedgehogs, they're just starting to go into hibernation now. It's possibly not looking so good for them then if they weren't able to put on the weight over the summer.
No, and especially because it's been a long, hot summer as well, quite late summer, a lot of hedgehogs might have had a second litter. They can have two litters a year, and the autumn juveniles, depending on how late they're born, if they're born late in the year, they don't quite have enough time to put on enough weight to see them through the winter. So, you know, we're seeing quite a few, again, underweight babies coming in that will need to be fed over the winter, otherwise they won't survive.
Okay, so when you say underweight, what kind of... So if we see a very small hedgehog wandering in our garden and we, you know, we get out the gloves and we pop it onto the scales, what kind of weight are we looking at that would mean they could survive the winter?
Yeah, the general guidance is that anything under about 450 grams... say late November won't make it through the winter. They just don't have enough fat reserves. But we have to be a little bit careful because I think the Hedgehog Preservation Society is slightly concerned that people, meaning well, are going out looking for underweight hedgehogs to bring in and look after. It really depends on their situation. If you're feeding them and you're prepared to put out food and they have still got a source of food and water, then you know they can survive at about 600 grams. So if otherwise they're healthy, active, and still visiting for food, then just carry on feeding them. It's much better to keep a hedgehog in the wild if you can than bring it in. So only bring it in, you know, as a last resort because they get stressed. They're more prone to parasites and things like that.
Okay.
If they're brought in.
So. Keep on feeding. And what are we feeding with them here, actually?
Cat food, poultry-based cat food, dry biscuits or wet if you can, a bit of both. They love mealworms, but mealworms to them are a bit like crisps to humans. They're delicious, but they're not good for them. So only as a sort of treat, don't just feed them mealworms.
Right.
And if you can find a way of feeding them that the local cat isn't going to come and eat the whole bowl, so maybe spreading it in your borders or putting it under a sort of wooden pallet or even in a hedgehog house that's not being lived in, you can actually feed them, you know, within the house so only they can get inside there.
Okay. So then you keep feeding in the hope that the hedgehog will you know, obviously put on weight, and then only if they're really very small... would you think of bringing them inside?
Yes. I mean, they seem to know that they're underweight and can't hibernate, so they will eat as late as they can into the winter.
Okay.
But if it's really cold and they're under 450 grams, it's best to bring them in and get them checked out at a rescue centre. So they can check them for parasites.
And rescue centres near here?
There's the Hedgehog Lady in London Colney. There are some individual carers in Watford, and there's Tiggy Winkles, of course. If you contact the Hedgehog Preservation Society, they'll put you in touch with your nearest hedgehog carer.
Right,
and get them checked out.
Okay, lovely. Well, that sounds like something really good to do. It'd be great for helping hedgehogs in your garden. Do you want to deliver the annual bonfire night plea for hedgehogs?
Oh, yes, bonfires. Yes, a perfect bed for hibernating hedgehogs, and especially as this last week has been cold enough to send them into hibernation, they will love a newly made bonfire of sticks and leaves. So if you have a bonfire in your garden, or even if there's been you know, a bigger one that's been prepared over a few weeks, the best thing is to actually dismantle it and check it for hibernating hedgehogs and then rebuild it on the day. If you can't do that, then at least only light one side so that there's an escape route on the opposite side.
Yeah, because, of course, you know, there could well be lots of creatures are looking for homes at this time of year, aren't they? There might well be frogs, all sorts of things in there. So, yes, really.
Or better still, don't have one.
Well, there's always that option as well, isn't there? That's fantastic. Now, I don't know, perhaps people have got kids at half term or whatever, want to actually do something good for hedgehogs in the garden. How can we make our gardens at this time of year? What can we do to make it better for hedgehogs?
Well, you could build your own pretend bonfire and just don't set light to it. You know, they will love a pile of sticks, logs, straw, hay, leaves. Try and leave an untouched area of your garden. Everybody these days, you know, loves beautifully manicured, designed gardens. But for all nature, it's really good just to have a wild area with the long grass, with piles of sticks, a compost heap. And hedgehogs will love it, as will frogs, the insects that they eat.
Yeah.
At any time of year, have a wild area.
You're right, and it doesn't have to be the entire garden, does it?
No, no, no.
You know, just that bit at the bottom, which actually quite often when you're doing things you don't get to anyway.
I've got one of those.
Well, I think so many of those has, hasn't it? And rather than seeing it as something on the to-do list, actually that's positive. Yeah. It's a wildlife area, isn't it?
Yeah, plant some wildflowers and just leave it to nature.
Lovely.
And let everything access it as well through the Hedgehog Highway.
Of course. Yeah. Yes, that's right.
Which there is a petition out. Hugh Warwick has a petition for the Hedgehog Highway, which is, I think, approaching 500,000 signatures. It's one of the biggest wildlife petitions out there. So if you're interested in...
So what's that asking for then?
For new housing estates to be built with access through their garden fences, because, you know, that's one of the most important things is to allow hedgehogs to have an area of gardens to access. So it's to, if you're building new houses with those... People have them today, those fences with cement bottoms, which obviously nothing can get through, then at least leave a little hole through them.
That seems like a relatively small thing to
ask,
doesn't
it? I know, it would seem so.
Jill, thank you for drawing that to our attention.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I was talking there to local hedgehog enthusiast Jill Priest. Now, I'll do a little blog and I'll pop it on www.radioverulam.com with all the details of how you can help hedgehogs right now, including the details of the hedgehog centres that Jill mentioned and also the petition that Jill spoke about asking for hedgehog provision in new houses. And if you'd like to have a hedgehog house in your garden, then you might like to take a listen at the podcast that I recorded back in the summer in which we discussed the research into which hedgehog houses hedgehogs like best. Make sure that whatever you do is the kind of thing that our spiky little friends are actually going to come and live in. And you can find that along with other podcasts by going to www.radioverulam.com and then selecting the podcast option from the On Radio drop-down menu. Now, do follow me on Twitter at @RV_environment. Do like us on Facebook, pardon me, or drop me a line on amanda@radioverulam.com if you've got any comment or ideas that you'd like us to cover. I'll be back at the same time next week when we'll be getting an update from the trackside residents fighting to save trees from felling Network Rail. Don't forget, compost that pumpkin when you've finished with it. And until the same time next week, thank you for listening.